Stay tuned for another exciting episode of PT Talker with special guest Dr. Larry Benz. This week, you will hear Dr. Benz give valuable insight about how your clinic can prosper in the new world of medicine. We'll be right back.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Welcome back to another episode of PT Talker, where we bring you the experts in the world of physical therapy. And I'm delighted to bring you someone that I would definitely call an expert, Mr. Larry Benz, who is a physical therapist, been in our industry for a long time. Welcome to our show, Larry.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jeff.
For those of you that don't know you, you are a doctorate in physical therapy who actually you started your own chain of physical therapy clinics. Tell me a little bit about that, and then we'll go into some of your credentials and what you're doing now.
Sure. I was in the Army as a PT. I went to the Army Baylor program in San Antonio, Texas, and moved to Kentucky in 1985. And shortly after that, I was stationed at Fort Knox, and shortly after that, began to moonlight a little bit and got married to a physical therapist in Kentucky, and we started opening up our own private practice, and which primarily consisted of hospital contracts and skilled nursing facilities, some home health.
Mm-hmm.
But our real passion and joy was in outpatient orthopedics. I was both an athletic trainer and a PT, so we started outpatient physical therapy clinics in the Louisville market and in the rural markets of Kentucky, and eventually got up to about 36 facilities, up until the last couple of years.
And people would know those as CORT, Kentucky Orthopedic Rehab Team, and those were then, I think those were acquired by one of the national chains, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we started out, oddly enough, as Southern Kentucky Physical Therapy in 1986 because we had some rural contracts. And after about 4 or 5 years, realizing where the geography and what our vision was of opening up clinics and creating sort of a hub-and-spoke environment, we realized we didn't have any clinics in Southern Kentucky, so
yeah.
hence the name change.
Gotcha. Well, certainly you've done well, and now you're on the other side. As I understand it, you're now president of PT Development, which is a small equity firm, and you invest in ongoing physical therapy concerns?
No, that's correct. Yeah, PT Development is really a holding company or a private equity firm that invests and manages primarily outpatient physical therapy clinics, very similar to what I had. We are also heavily invested and involved in the education of PTs on a post-professional basis, residency, fellowship, executive management, transitional doctorate. We take minority positions in private practices where we have a highly engaged and owner who has been able to get his or her clinics to a certain level, but with our experience and with our scale, we try to bring some element of business sophistication and systems to them so that mm-hmm. they can grow, so that they can thrive, and that they can realize better margin for what they're doing.
So your role then with PT Development, are you then staying up to date on what's happening in the healthcare world, healthcare reform, and how it's going to affect those private practitioners?
Absolutely. You've got to. We're a highly regulated business, as you know, and any change on both a national and regional scope, impacts us pretty substantially.
Yeah. So I think that's what I'd like to talk to you today about and what our listeners would find most interesting. You have a blog site and a website, Evidence in Motion. Is there more defined website address that people could go to get your take on things?
Yeah, Evidence in Motion would be a good hub site or a good portal.
Okay.
MyPhysicalTherapySpace.com is our sort of social networking site. The blog is found at evidenceinmotion.com. There'll be a key for a hyperlink for the blog. And there's other resources on that site.
Yeah.
But, our blog was started, some years back when we decided we wanted to do it, but use a multi-author approach.
Yeah.
and that's what we embarked on.
Right, and that's what I've looked at, and one of the reasons I invited you on PT Talker, it seems to me that you've got some opinions and maybe some insight into what's going on. Certainly no one knows for sure what might happen, but where do you see the private practitioner right now as far as where they stand now and what might be coming in the future as far as healthcare reform? I know you've got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think private practice right now is in an interesting situation because we know that physical therapy is not only a viable profession, but one that has efficacy and cost effectiveness. So from that standpoint, healthcare reform should be kind theoretically to us because you can buy a whole lot of physical therapy for the cost of an MRI, for the cost of ongoing, pharmaceuticals, for the cost of ongoing imaging. So our efficacy and our cost effectiveness is good. The flip side of that is we are also one of the most heavily regulated businesses. In fact, we are only second to nuclear power plants in the number of regulations that we have to deal with.
Now, who would know that? That's amazing.
And in order to deal with that effectively, it incurs a significant cost of doing business, all at a rate that is unreimbursed. It would be kind of like after 9/11, the increased security enhancements that the airlines had to do, they weren't able to extract additional reimbursement for those additional security enhancements. We're in the same boat. So in order to deal that effectively, small mom-and-pop operators have to create scale or collaboration with either other private practices, management companies, consultants, in order so that they can get big and bring some scale to their operation that would ultimately lower cost. Several years ago, we used to only look at the one side of the profit and loss statement, the revenue. Now it's really a function of being more efficient, being sophisticated, and being able to adapt to the regulatory environment. We're also seeing private practices struggle to obtain contracts. They're literally in some states being blocked out of provider panels. They're being usurped by either hospital systems or by other coalitions that they're fighting against to get on provider panels. So it's a perfect storm. On the one hand, we have efficacy, viability, and a shortage. On the other hand, we have constraints that restrict us theoretically from thriving like we should.
Are you optimistic that there will always be a place in our healthcare world for the private practice physical therapist?
Oh, there's no question about it. I am long on physical therapy if I was an investor and believe not only due to the identity that we're creating and value in the healthcare chain, but the simple fact that our population is graying, it's getting older. Physical therapists have a role in the graying of America. Mm-hmm. We have a role in maintaining people want to be older, active, longer, and they're getting booted out of hospitals and other clinics faster, which bodes well for us.
Yeah. So are you someone then that is looking at that illness versus wellness model and encouraging your clients to take maybe a different approach than they have in the past?
That's a great question. I think I sort of approach it a little bit differently. I am not crazy about PTs migrating into competencies and businesses that they don't have the skill sets for. Mm-hmm. So I'm not huge on PTs migrating too much into wellness. But what I am big on is PTs creating patients for life. This whole notion of a patient being discharged, it has to go away. We have to have patient retention tools so that as problems arise, as things happen, they will be able to actively refer themselves back to us. Now, it can take the form of, medical fitness or a medically oriented gym or any of the other current flavor of the month to keep patients, in your clinic. But I'm really more about making that, your patient, for life. They're going to have needs. They're going to have deficits long-term-wise. What can we do to keep them in a physical therapy state of mind?
Yeah. So what are some of the things, then, if I'm a private practitioner and I am engaging you as a president of PT Development to say, what advice would you have for a listener out there or some of the things that you recommend that someone can do to stay viable in this market and going into the future?
Well, strictly from a business standpoint, I think you have to know what you do best and focus on that and let all other niche programs, marketing techniques, flavors of the month go by the wayside. I think what we really do well in PT is we create an emotional bond or a connection with the patient. We touch them, we educate them, we counsel them, if you will, spend time with. That's our value proposition. And so the systems that you can create that leave an indelible mark on these patients are your clinical excellence, your hands-on tactile skills coupled with your cognitive ability, your advanced training, your board certification, your residency training, coupled with customer service excellence. How can you create an amazing experience for that patient such that when they leave that clinic, they're saying amazing things about you, that something different happened to them? The physical therapy profession is as old as life is itself in terms of medical treatment. Mm-hmm. It's literally a therapist and a patient in a room. It's been around since the Reconstruction AIDS. It'll be around forever. So what you have to focus on, I think, is systems in place that allow the therapist to thrive educationally and through advanced competencies such as board certification, residence training, fellowship, coupled with an unprecedented focus on customer service, sales, and techniques. You know, the number one thing patients tell us, we've had over 135,000 return patient loyalty scores. The number one thing, friendly service. Hmm. You know, we want somebody who's friendly and caring. Those two words are oftentimes used together. Well, how many people go to PT school to learn how to become friendly, caring?
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, that's what you want to rely on. So it's the combination of those two, your clinical excellence coupled with your customer service commitment to excellence. And quite frankly, Jeff, what you have to do in order to excel in that long term is you can only do it through collaboration, or what I refer to in some of my presentations as an open door, meaning that you have to be open to academic partnerships on your residency, fellowship, board certification training, your clinical continuing excellence, if you will, and open doors on third parties verifying your patient loyalties, performing mystery shopping, teaching customer service skills that are not just a flavor of the month but are sustainable, long-term, systematic. Hmm. So that would be the number one thing I'd focus on. The second thing is I would create reproducible systems that for those things that can be completely routine and automated and institutionalized, that in fact they become completely automated, routine, and institutionalized. And that includes compliance programs, documentation systems, billing collections, accounting, all of those sort of back office functions that you can do for your practice. The problem private practice has, they're so busy treating patients and seeing patients that they never have time to refine systems in compliance, systems in marketing, and those kinds of things. So you have to act big. I think Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, which is many years old now, is really presents a compelling case for systematizing, if you will, a significant portion of your business operations.
Hmm. So, so if I've got this right, and to summarize here before we run out of time, one of your pieces of advice is that therapists continue to be excellent at ACL reconstruction, or continuing to increase their knowledge of specific things that they do in their clinic to treat patients. Do I have that right?
That's correct. Your commitment to clinical excellence vis-a-vis advanced competency training, board certification, residency training, fellowship, CE, all of those elements.
Which I guess is kind of like so obvious versus I need to start a new program. I need to learn something new to do in our clinic because we want to entice this kind of a person walking in the door. Is that kind of your message?
Yeah, I think that would be a good way to summarize it. It's the whole notion of current best evidence is a compelling vision for the future. We have to take that type of attitude to our patients. All too often, we're learning things from various gurus that are out there or folks, things that we had in our internship 10 years ago. We have to integrate the current best evidence into what we do every day and maintain a commitment to that. And that commitment is an ongoing, circular, constantly re-engineering And what most practices don't do is they don't maintain the spirit of that commitment. And that's why I'm big on this open doors or collaboration with your academic partners, with your, with consultants, with whatever it takes to keep you in that frame of mind.
It's really a great message, Larry. PT Talker, on past episodes, we've brought our listeners information and differing views on gyrotonics or Pilates or this, you know, like you say, this new fad, that new fad. And it's really, I'm actually glad we have you on in order to offer that viewpoint. Maybe we need to be paying attention to what physical therapists do best. So, very, very interesting. And then, of course, the customer service thing, which the people at the supermarket are working on constantly, and you're saying it's just as important in physical therapy.
Yeah, I actually think it's more important because there's a certain assumption people make when they go to a physical therapy clinic or any healthcare provider, and the assumption is that the service is, generally speaking, from a customer service viewpoint, is going to be poor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're all accustomed to, you know, walking into that physician's office where, you know, there's this glass window and you open the glass window and a Turkish, you know, iron worker is behind there barely smiling. And so the benchmark is poor. So you can differentiate your service by having a amazing or the power of wow or whatever your vernacular is. But you're hard-pressed. Anybody's hard-pressed to name two or three sustaining institutions, companies in any venue that are the customer service kings. Well, you know, when you do that, you think of the Nordstroms and you think of, you know, the Ritz-Carltons of the world. What you want to do is you want to be the Ritz-Carlton or the Nordstroms of physical therapy from a service standpoint. Because at the end of the day, it's that friendly, caring, emotional bond, that connection that's going to keep buzz, word of mouth, social media, whatever you have, it's going to keep people coming back. You know, people decide to see a physical therapist for rational means. You know, they get a referral, you're in their provider network, you're in the geography, you know where it's at, but they stay for irrational means. They stay for emotional reasons. They like you. They can't even tell you why. It's friendly. It's caring. And if you find most aspects of your day-to-day business transactions are often like that.
Mm-hmm. I've had the pleasure of walking into one of your clinics, and there is a plaque or a nameplate at the receptionist window. Do you know what I'm speaking about?
Sure, absolutely.
And I'm saying you practice what you preach. Tell our listeners what that plaque said.
It says Director of First Impressions.
Yeah, amazing. At every clinic, that was the first thing you saw when you walked up. So, Dr. Larry Benz, it's been our pleasure to have you on PT Talker. I want to thank you again for taking your valuable time to join us today.
You're welcome, Jeff.
And I'm wondering if we could ever, in a few months, call you back and do this again, because it seems like we're just out of time, but it seems like there's so many interesting things we could talk about.
Anytime.
All right, excellent. And if you would like to learn more or hear more about Dr. Larry Benz and his great work at PT Development, you can go to evidenceinmotion.com. Is that correct, Larry?
Yes.
And there, I think, anything that Dr. Benz is affiliated with will come up. And I want to remind you, if you would like to hear previous episodes of PT Talker, we're available at iTunes. And hope you'll tell all your friends about PT Talker, the place for business ideas and news, where we come to you each and every week. This is Jeff Worrell. Thank you for joining us, and so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.